It's not hard to find websites that showcase the prostitutes of Baku. Most of these sites have sections for girls who were born girls, and sections for girls like Samantha, who calls herself a shemale.
My nickname is Shemale Baku. What you want, when you want it.
Samantha does a pretty good business, she tells me and my interpreter, Olga. She stands out from other transgender sex workers here. That's because she's tall and foreign-looking, and she has a convincing female figure.
Have you had operations?
No.
No?
No, I have no operation.
Okay. So, what about here? Do you just wear padding?
Just a liftchik, stoy liftchik.
Oh, it's just a bra.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a bra with padding?
Nothing else. Look at beep, beep.
Can I try?
Yeah, beep, 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 beep. What?
Samantha works out of her apartment. Clients find her online and arrange meetings by phone. She makes about $60 each from foreigners. German engineers, British oil execs, Scottish roughnecks who work the offshore rigs. But these foreigners only come a few times a month. The rest of the time, it's local Azerbaijani men. Olga and I are with Samantha at her apartment when she gets lucky. A call comes in, a client from Turkey. He's an engineer for a building firm here in Baku. Since the oil pipeline opened in 2006, the city has turned into one big construction site. The client says he's already downstairs. There's no time for us to leave. Samantha shoves Olga and me behind a door.
We are hiding in the kitchen. Her client has arrived. And she is with him now in the living room. This is very awkward and weird. But, you know, she said it's fine. She said her friends do it all the time.
The transaction takes about an hour. Small talk, wine, and then the business. The door shuts behind the client, and Samantha slumps down on the couch and lights a cigarette.
I mean, was there ever a time when you feel bad about being a prostitute?
I hate, but I have no enough money, that's why I must do it.
So you hate it? You hate being a prostitute?
Yes. I like wear women's clothes and look like a woman. I want to work what I want, what I'm feeling.
But you want to live as a woman?
Yeah.
Working in a normal job, mm-hmm. with a normal salary. Do you think that's possible in Azerbaijan?
Impossible.
It's impossible, she says, because the majority of people here are practicing Muslims and don't approve. The situation was even more strict back in Samantha's home country, Kyrgyzstan. Samantha spent the first 18 years of her life as a boy in a tiny Kyrgyz village. She doesn't want us to say her real name, so let's call the boy Aktan. Growing up, Aktan's sister dressed him up as a girl, and the siblings put on shows for their friends.
When I was a child, I like all the Kyrgyzian music.
Can you sing me a Kyrgyzian song?
His name is Seni.
Later, Aktan found work in a Kyrgyz city translating documents into Russian for a fundamentalist Islamic group. By this point, he'd realized he was gay and was having secret affairs with men. One of Aktan's friends discovered his secret and ratted him out. Aktan later overheard a couple of the religious leaders plotting to take him to a remote village and teach him a lesson.
When I heard the conversation, I was shaking. As far as I knew, they could either beat me very badly or even kill me because they would consider me a Satan.
Aktan ran away that night. He bribed his way across the borders of four ex-Soviet republics and ended up here in Baku. That was 2 years ago. And it was right about the time Aktan started feeling like he wanted to live as a woman. He went looking for people like him and befriended a group of transgender prostitutes out here in the street near the international hotels. Aid groups here say transgenders are a growing part of Baku's sex work scene. While many of them are locals, more and more are coming from poor ex-Soviet republics. On Aktan's first night out, a prostitute loaned him a woman's blouse and a wig. At that moment, Aktan became Samantha.
First time when I went, one car stopped and I was near the driver.
The driver gave me $50 and I made oral sex to the driver.
But it was dangerous working the streets. Police here target transgender sex workers, shaking them down for bribes and beating them if they don't give in. So Samantha and her friends pooled together to rent an apartment to try to stay safe. A few months later, though, Samantha's roommate was with a drunk client in the bedroom when the client freaked out and started punching the roommate and stabbing her. Then he went after Samantha.
Look.
So that's the bra you were wearing when he stabbed you. And that hole in the bra is from the... Oh, my God.
Samantha managed to fight the guy off. Now, she says, she wears the bra every day in memory of her roommate, who died in the hospital hours after the attack. The client was convicted of murder. We were able to go with Samantha to a sentencing hearing. Samantha stands up and asks the judge to give him the harshest possible punishment. In the end, the judge sentences the murderer to 12 and a half years in prison. But because Samantha entered Azerbaijan illegally, the judge also issues an order to deport her. Deport her back to Kyrgyzstan, where she's convinced the fundamentalist group will track her down and kill her. Outside the courthouse, Samantha's lawyer rushes her to the car and tells her to get back to the apartment and lay low. A few nights later, Samantha pieces together a plan. Sell the computer, escape to another post-Soviet city, and start over.
First 3 months, very hard. But after 3 months, I will find my way.
After I left Baku, Samantha was deported with a one-way ticket back to Kyrgyzstan. But she slipped out of the airport during a layover in Moscow. She found a job there as a cashier at a supermarket. For now, she says, she's managed to save money from her job at the store and from some sex work on the side. For now, she told me by email, she's on her way to living the life she wants to live, the life of a regular girl with a regular job.